Good morning. The past, present, and future of Hawaii Public Radio meet up in a conversation this morning with President and CEO Michael Titterton and the man who will take over that position, Jose Fajardo. And if it's Tuesday, it's Neil Conan from The Farm. We'll see what's taking his attention this week, later this hour. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich.
And I'm Chris Vanderkrug. Kauai has more than its share of singers, and they've all got stories to tell at the Kauai Island Singers Showcase Jazz and Pop Concert.
That's the conversation for this April 12th, Day 7 of Challenge 2016, and it all starts right after the news. Sorry, not on this body, not this lifetime. Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. We're in august company this morning, aren't we?
We certainly are. And as you know by now, Hawaii Public Radio will soon enter its next phase of its existence. The man who may semi-annually bless your socks, Michael Titterton, will complete his tenure as HPR president and CEO on June 30th. Jose Fajardo will officially take over as of May 16th. And for 6 weeks, both he and Michael will be in the building as they are today and with us this morning. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Beth.
Nice to have you here. Now, when Michael came to Hawaii Public Radio, his task was pretty clear. And over the past 17 years, he's been steadily strengthening and expanding the service across Hawaii. At this point, Jose, and obviously this is just the beginning, what do you see as the path for you?
Well, first of all, let me acknowledge the wonderful work that Michael has done for the last 16, 17 years in really enhancing the infrastructure of Hawaii Public Radio, of making sure that the signals are getting throughout the islands of Hawaii so that as many listeners as possible can enjoy the benefits of Hawaii Public Radio. So Michael is leaving in obviously great standing and with a station that's growing with listenership and with growing with revenue and tremendous infrastructure. So my role is really to continue the great work that Michael has already started over these past many years to ensure that we continue to be able to fund the infrastructure and continue to invest into the programming, not just the national programs, but invest in the local programs, where I think this is where Hawaii Public Radio becomes so relevant in this community, which I hope soon to call my community. Public radio and local programming is what makes public radio relevant and for everyone who invests in public radio. And so my role is to continue moving that forward, making sure that we are able to sustain that for many, many years.
I want to talk to you more about local programming in a moment. But, yep. Michael, as you've been watching the expansion happening and driving the expansion, that one last puzzle piece of East Hawaii seems to be just about ready to fall in place. Where exactly are we?
I'm so glad you asked. Today, we have engineers scheduled to be on the tower installing the antenna for KHU. I haven't heard from them. I've been kind of busy this morning, scratching money together. But I'm hoping to have photographs of them in action, which we'll be putting on our website later on today. And it's amazing the way it's come down. We hope to have this particular radio station on the air a couple of years ago, and then a year ago, and then 6 months ago, and there have been all sorts of obstacles that we just never saw coming. I suppose it's poetically correct that the last one that we did should be the toughest one, but it's getting done, and it'll be on the air within weeks now, a short number of weeks. Sequence will be that because of the terms of license, KANO, the existing station, which we're also going to be broadcasting from Kalani Kone, will need to be the one on the air first. Its frequency will change, and we'll let you know about that so you know where to find it. The signal will be better than ever. And about 10 days after that, there's some paper that has to be done. About 10 days after that is when KHU will will bellow forth and bring HPR2 to the very patient people of East Hawaii. I think the cliche is the patience of Job. It could be replaced anytime soon by the patience of the people of East Hawaii who have just been very, very stoic about this whole thing. But it's going to be worth it in the end.
And for you, a sense of real completion.
Yes, yes, I have to say, as far as the, now it's not, you know, it's always a work in progress. We've always said that about Hawaii Public Radio. It's always going to be a work in progress. But as far as that sort of essential step of getting the infrastructure out there so that the entire state can be brought together through radio, yes, we'll have a degree of closure when that station goes on the air. And I'll be a happy boy.
Oh, I'm no doubt that you will. But as we move forward into this next chapter of Hawaii Public Radio's existence, we're going to also see some real changes in terms of how programming mm-hmm. is delivered and what we are affectionately calling the whoosh.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. Because up until now, up until we are able to deliver both services, HPR1 and HPR2, to equally around the state, we have had to make certain compromises. The most glaring, obviously, obvious of which is Morning Edition, which has been a part of our legacy station, which has been KHPR ever since there's been a Hawaii Public Radio. And the way we are going, HPR2 will be the news and information network, and HPR1 will be the arts and culture network. And so obviously Morning Edition belongs on HPR2, and that's where it will go. We haven't been able to move it up until now, because if we did, then the people of East Hawaii wouldn't be able to hear it. But that's one of several changes. It's just the most obvious. What we'll have a couple of months from now, I hope, is a network that is truly given to arts and culture, continuing in the classical music tradition, but broadening that even to more fully and richly reflect the sense of place, of the very special sense of place of Hawaii in the middle of the Pacific, and drawing on classical music traditions from something somewhere other than Europe. I mean, we do that now, but we can increase, I think. And HPR2, of course, will continue to develop its news programming muscles, and we've got a couple of specific projects in mind. So, yeah, it's not going to be boring.
It's never been up to this point, and I doubt it will be in future, too. But, Jose, as you are moving with us into the future, and you've talked a little bit about local programming, mm-hmm. obviously with these changes, this means that the conversation is going to shift into midday as opposed to being a morning show. What differences do you see in that happening, and how do you see that also fulfilling our need to create local programming?
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, local programming is so important for public radio, but especially for Hawaii Public Radio. It's been the backbone of what Michael has been able to accomplish here at Hawaii Public Radio. You know, so when you move programming around, you got to make sure that the people that listen to the program also move along with those programs. So how we communicate that with our listeners and how we market, that's going to be very, very important. But by doing this change that Michael's talking about, it allows us to recalibrate our local programs so that we are reaching as the greater audience as possible. And then we can maybe add more local programs to Hawaii Public Radio. For me, you know, that's what attracted me to this situation at Hawaii Public Radio is, you know, the infrastructure is already built and is being built, and the local programming that's already here, because I'm a strong believer in local programming. Everywhere I've been, I've created local programming, and that's the way that you connect this radio station with the community. So I'm really looking forward to that and making it even better in future years.
As are we. Thank you both. Wish we had more time to talk, but, you know, we got to move along, and I know you do too, to go do things like
raising money.
That's radio.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Bethann.
Michael Hitterton will soon complete his 17-year term as president and general manager of Hawaii Public Radio. Jose Fajardo will take over that position. He's currently the executive vice president of the Orlando Regional Chamber of Commerce in Central Florida.
Wow. Just listening to Bethann talk to Michael Titterton and, of course, Jose Fajardo, the incoming new general manager here. You heard it. You heard it right from Michael Titterton himself. As we speak, Working on the Tower at KAHU East Hawaii.
Yes.
My gosh. You know, when I look back, as long as I've been here at Hawaii Public Radio, which is like 26 years, I just couldn't help but, when I was driving in this morning, reflecting back on listening to Michael talk to John Henry Felix, Michael's sitting there just a few months away from moving on to bigger and better things and enjoying his life, and then Jose Fajardo. I mean, it just all came together. Wow. Good morning, everyone. Ray Cruz with you here on a day 7 of Challenge 2016. You're listening to The Conversation. You know you're listening to The Conversation because that's what's happening every Monday through Friday from the 8 to 9 o'clock hour. If this is one of the shows that you tune in to listen to, we need to hear from you right now. We have a matching gift on the table of $500, and it comes from HPR sustaining members encouraging you to be a monthly giver today. Mahalo to these sustainers who contributed toward today's matching challenge, Bill Comstock and Richard Pentecost. Thank you so much. 941-3689. Our volunteers are standing by. We have a $3,000 goal. Can I see that? Thank you, Gene. We have a $3,000 goal for The Conversation, and we have $2,235 to go to take that money off of the table. And to help us along, we have $135 to go on that matching gift that's also on the table from our sustaining members. So now's the time to call, especially if you're living on the Big Island. This is so exciting. I've never, in all the times that I've been doing Pledge Drive, I've never really seen anything like this, really. And it's today and today only. All gifts pledged from Hawaii Island will be matched 100%, dollar for dollar, from Kate and Tom in Kailua Kona. And our volunteers can walk you through the process. But, you know, if you call now at the dollar a day level, that call is worth double. It's $730. Not only that, when you talk to our volunteers, they walk you through the process, and you decide you want to get a premium, you double that premium amount. So give us a call, 941-3689. Toll free, 1-877-941-3689. There is so much leverage on the table. I'm trying to keep everything organized because the bottom line is, honor these people who are saying, you don't know them. You don't know Kate and Tom. You probably don't know Bill Comstock and Richard Pentecost, but you do know that they're saying, I have faith that you will pick up the phone and give us a call right now and help us get this drive over with in the next couple of days. $362,000 to go. Boy, there's been a lot of heavy lifting Gene Evans done in the last few days. But you know what? It's not over till it's over. I rejoice in every call that we've gotten, every dollar, every penny that we've gotten. But it's not over until it's over.
Yeah, people often wonder, what's the best time to call? Excuse me. Well, how can I use my pledge to best advantage? Well, I would suggest to you, folks on the Big Island, if you call in right now, with a pledge of $30.41 a month, okay? Can you do that? Dollar a day, take your loose change at night, put it on the bedstand. $1 a day, put it on the side for Hawaii Public Radio. So pledge $30.41 a month. With the various matches and challenges on the table, your pledge will be worth $865 to Hawaii Public Radio. For your pledge of $30.41 if you're on the Big Island and you call right now. That's what we call leverage. That's what we call seizing the moment. And that's what we call when is the right time to call. 1-877-941-3689.
Think of it as an investment in a very valuable organization. If you knew that the investment that you were making of, say, $365 was worth three times that as soon as you had put it down, wouldn't you say that was one of the best investments you've ever made?
Absolutely.
And that's Bernie Madoff.
You know, I mean, you're Bernie Madoff, right? But for real this time. I mean, it really does matter. Yeah.
It does. It's transparent.
It's transparent.
It's transparent. We're fiscally responsible with your money. We've been shown time and time again that we take extra care of people's donation to make sure we spend it wisely.
And, you know, Kate and Tom are putting up this extra money, these matching gifts. And you know what? It's going to work because at KAHU right now, they're working on that tower as we speak. So you've been hearing in the past about the whoosh and the changes from HPR 1 to HPR 2. Listen, you know, there's so many obstacles that I wish that you all were privy to all the things that, you know, you're moving forward and all of a sudden this roadblock and that roadblock and you're trying to, all these hurdles. But the idea is the end goal. The end goal. That's what it's all about. It's not, a lot of people think about the battle getting there. And we're taking care of that. But you can help it, help us make it that much easier. 941-3689, 941-3689, toll free 1-877-941-3689. We're going back to the conversation here in a little bit. Please, let's not just waste these opportunities, these things that are on the table. Please, don't do that. Don't do it. We have all these things on the table, matching gifts on the table. We have matching dollar-for-dollar pledges from the Big Island. Let's not waste it. Put it to good use. Give us a call. We need you right now. If you've been waiting, no need wait. Put your plan into action. Take care of business. Going back to the conversation, and who we have? Chris Vandercook on the other side. Take it away, brother.
Hey, Ray Cruz, thank you. Taking care of business at the pledge table, along with Ian, and this is the conversation on HPR2. You're back with our regular programming for just a moment. The Kauai Island Singers Showcase, acronym KISS, is an exercise in music making for its own sake, with volunteer performers, free concerts, and an emphasis on music the audience will know and love. Its latest show is Jazz and Pop, and Melissa Mojo, one of the 9 featured vocalists, is on the line to tell us about it. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, Chris.
You guys bring a lot of enthusiasm to this project, don't you?
Oh, we certainly do. We all love to sing.
How long has this group been around?
Since December of 2012,
uh-huh.
A little over 3 years.
What got it going?
I started it because I love to sing, and whenever I would get an opportunity, which wasn't very often, I was always have a lot of stage fright.
Uh-huh.
So I figured, well, the only way to get over it is to sing more often in front of an audience. So I started it, and we sing. We have about, you know, 5 to 6 concerts a year.
You know, that is the only answer to stage fright, and it's sort of counterintuitive, isn't it?
Exactly. Just get up there and do it. But it's so much fun because we work with professional musicians, and we've just all learned so much about music and about developing our own repertoire, and we've all gotten much, much better.
Well, you know, Melissa, there are so many people who can sing who don't, right? And it's a shame because there's talent going unutilized. But sort of take me through that process of being afraid and getting on stage and overcoming it. What happens to you?
Well, my heart starts to pound.
You bet.
And my throat muscles start to tighten up. And it's like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to get the words out, you know?
Yeah.
I always had a problem speaking in front of people, but try singing and having to manipulate the sound. It's quite challenging.
So
but
what,
I find that normally what happens is I'm a little nervous at the beginning, but the minute I get into the song, I relax.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that the material, if you sort of immerse yourself in the material, that's kind of what carries you along, yeah?
Exactly. It's telling a story, and I practice a lot, so it's kind of like second nature, sort of in my moving center. So
yeah. Well, there's also the phenomenon, as you well know, Melissa, of muscle memory, right?
Absolutely.
You know, while it's not just your mind that's learning the song; it's your lungs and your vocal cords and your throat, everything that shapes a sound. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just every song has got a specific roadmap, and it's navigating that roadmap.
Have you been able to enlist other people to be part of this group, you know, and sort of tell them about what your experience has been?
Yes. We've got probably about 20 people that have been through KISS, and there's a few number of regulars that we sing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a wonderfully heart-opening experience for everybody.
When you pick, everybody picks their own material, I'm assuming?
Yes, we try to create a theme that's very general so that people can do whatever genre they want or, you know, pretty much sing whatever song they want.
Well, because jazz and pop, with your next concert, that covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
What are you singing?
I'm going to be singing Cheek to Cheek,
okay,
which is a jazz standard, and Moonlight in Vermont.
Oh, yeah, that's a great song.
And then I'm singing a duet with my friend Trishana, Accentuate the Positive.
Uh-huh. So a little up-tempo, a little Fred Astaire.
Yes.
Not bad. What are some of the other choices that some of your other colleagues are singing?
We're going to be whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. One Note Samba.
Uh-huh.
Blues in the Night. I've Got the World on a String. Stan is going to be singing My Way, which is a pop song by Paul Anka, and Amazing Grace. But he's going to be doing it in a unique way, sort of a rock and roll way.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
We'll leave a few surprises, Melissa, yes. But I definitely get the idea that you're going all over the map in terms of styles of material, yeah?
Yes, it ranges over many decades of music.
And in that performance space, you're accompanied by a trio, yeah? So
yes.
Any ensemble work among the singers? That might be a next step.
We do actually back up each other on some songs,
uh-huh,
and we do. Some people do duets. I am going to be doing a duet with my friend Trishana.
Because I was thinking about there being some fertile ground in some of the, you know, the high lows kind of harmony and putting some of those voices together. Maybe that's your next project, yeah?
Exactly.
Well, Melissa, good luck with the show. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you so much, Chris.
You bet. Melissa Mojo will be one of the featured vocalists when Kauai Island Singers Showcase presents Jazz and Pop. It's a free concert this Saturday evening at All Saints Church in Kapa'a, Kauai. The other vocalists are Eric Hagen, Fran Nestle, Diana Leone, Trishana Starr, Stanley Walshen, Christine Melamed, Mary Ann Kopitsky, and Trudy Vella. Hank Curtis plays piano, Ed Cook is on bass, Jim Fiore on drums.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Tory Richard Limited, celebrating 60 years of design for the island lifestyle. Tory Richard is proud to support local community news, public affairs, and talk programming on Hawaii Public Radio.
Umurokai, ulanai, umau, ukaho olabe, ohawaii.
During our semi-annual pledge drives, HPR listeners often get their vocabularies tested by our president and general manager, Michael Titterton. He'll be stepping down at the end of June, and in honor of his last pledge drive, we've been exploring the life and times of Michael Titterton in our backyard quizzes. Most people know that Michael originally hails from London, but did you know that he also has lived throughout the United States? For today's backyard quiz, we'd like to know in which state did Michael reside immediately before he moved to Hawaii to join the HPR Ohana. First one to call us at 941-3689 or 877-941-3689 with the correct answer will be the proud new owner of an HPR t-shirt.
Good morning, everyone. Ray Cruz with you. back at Pledge Central on this day 7 of Challenge 2016. And I'll give you a quick update. When we last left you, we had about $75 to go on our matching gift that was on the table from HBR sustaining members. And I'm very happy to tell you that we did meet that matching gift. At this point in the drive, this is all about making sure that any of the challenges that are on the table are taken advantage of. And we have $855 to go on this break. So we have a lot of heavy lifting to do, but we could do it one call at a time, one pledge at a time. And to help us get there, Mrs. Ann McKay of Kailua, she's very proud to support the Chamber Music Hawaii and HPR. Her favorite programs are HPR talk programs, just like The Conversation, jazz, classical, and Says You Wait, Wait, and of course, Guy Steele's Sinatra. What a great show that is, heard right here on HPR2. So if you like any of the shows that Ann McKay likes, listen, you probably don't know who she is. You've never met her, probably never will, but she's investing in HPR on your behalf. She's saying, I have $300 that I'm going to put up, and I guarantee you that's not the last and first dollar that she's ever given us. I guarantee you. That's an extra gift saying, listen, I want you guys to finish this drive on time. I want you to finish early. I want you to send off Michael Titterton with a bang, you know? And, you know, earlier he was on The Conversations to start out the program, and when I heard it, it just kind of took me full circle. On the way coming in this morning, John Henry Felix was on with Michael Titterton and the incoming general manager, Jose Fajardo, who we're going to speak to in just a second. And to hear those three gentlemen coming together, it just felt right. It felt good. It felt good. And so, in honor of Ann McKay, we have this $300 matching gift on the table. Give us a call right now. And if you happen to be from the Big Island, you could call 1-877-941-3689. You happen to be from the Big Island, your call will be matched dollar for dollar. Any calls coming in from the Big Island. So for the first time that we've been on the air together, I'd like to welcome our new general manager coming aboard here in just a bit, Jose Fajardo. Good morning, sir. Good to see you.
Well, good morning. Thank you for allowing me to join you this morning during The Conversation, which I was also a guest of earlier with Michael, talking about the transition. Happy to be here raising money for HPR2, Hawaii Public Radio, and you can be a part of the team, the family of supporters, by calling 941-3689, 941-3689, and the surrounding islands, 877-941-3689. Help us reach that $3,000 goal that we have for The Conversation with just $855 to go. Certainly, if we raise $300, which will be matched by that generous challenge grant, that will certainly get us closer to fulfilling that goal of $3,000. So I'm honored to be here. I was honored to be part of that trilogy this morning with John Henry, Michael, and myself, the old, the current, and the future of Hawaii Public Radio, and I'm delighted to be part of this team joining Hawaii Public Radio later in May.
You know, the one thing about that, Jose, was that when I heard you this morning speaking, and then just to hear from Michael that as you and I are speaking to our listeners, we have engineers working on the tower right now as we speak.
That's amazing.
That's a chicken skin moment for me. It is. It's really a big deal because down the road, you have been on your aloha tour since you walked in here on Monday morning and meeting a lot of people. And people, you could see the enthusiasm and the excitement of people looking forward to where this little the station that couldn't at one point, right, now can.
You know, if someone asked me yesterday, what was my first impression of Hawaii Public Radio when I came in Monday morning? And really, this is my complete honest assessment. I mean, there's so much passion in the staff of Hawaii Public Radio, not just the staff of Hawaii Public Radio, but all the volunteers who are coming in to answer the telephones and being here to help with the food and just helping the station out. There's a genuine affection from the volunteers and the staff, a passion, a love for Hawaii Public Radio. And so I know the community is also feeling that love, that aloha of Hawaii Public Radio. And we want to hear that aloha by these having these phones ring, by having our listeners call 941-3689. Because we, you know, Hawaii Public Radio has been built on the back of all these listeners who have called in the past. And for us to sustain it moving in the future, we need callers today to start calling in with their gifts of support so we can continue to build the stations forward. And you can do that by calling 941-3689 or toll-free 877-941-3689.
You know, a couple of calls. I'm sorry, Ian.
That's
Caps,
quite
go
all right.
Ahead. I'm
going to
just go.
Yeah, you
go.
No, all right. I was thinking, I used to listen in New York, and my wife and I, driving around the country, would listen in different places in the country. And if you're driving on the mainland, you can drive from one city and you can switch into a public radio station the next time around and so on. The only game here is, being isolated as we are, Hawaii Public Radio is the community.
Absolutely.
And
that's
you
why
cannot drive 50 miles out into the ocean.
Well, and that's
and
what
suddenly here,
and that's
San
what
Francisco.
Makes this program, the conversation, so important. Because as we were talking earlier, it's that thread that connects the islands. That's what Hawaii Public Radio does. It connects the islands. It connects the peoples of Hawaii. It connects what's happening between the islands. It connects what's happening around the world. And that connectivity is so important. I told someone the other day that, you know, public radio is nothing more than a community room. And we invite listeners into the community room to experience things that are happening in the community. And we have to protect that room, that we're conveners of the community. And our listeners help support that when they call in that contribution of support. So we hope that they call in support of Hawaii Public Radio right now, because we have lots of dollars to raise in support of Hawaii Public Radio at 941-3689.
And, you know, Anne McKay is one of those people who's in that room saying, hey, come on in.
That's right.
Come on in.
And she's pretty much an ideal listener, because she listens to the most incredible variety of programs.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what you can do.
Exactly.
If you don't like something that's going on HPR 1 at a particular time, you just press the other button, and it's something interesting on HPR 2.
And if you call in and support the conversation, every one of the – we'll give you the rest of the programs. That's just a bonus. 941-3689, that's the number you need to call. We are at $355,000 to go to the end of this drive. You can help us get there by making a call at 941-3689, especially from Hawaii Island. If you call right now, your gift to Hawaii Public Radio will be matched dollar for dollar. So if you call right now and you make a pledge for $500, that's $1,000 coming this way, plus the fact that your premiums will be matched and upped. Okay, so let's honor Kate and Tom and also Anne McKay of Kailua. Call 941-3689, 1-877-941-3689. We're going back to the conversation, so give us a call, won't you? I know you will.
Thanks very much, Ray. Looking forward to seeing this drive wrap up as quickly as possible. And very good to talk to Michael Titterton and Jose Fajardo this morning. Now, 20 years ago, Hawaii began sending some of its inmates to the mainland. Our state is still one of four to send them to other states. Civil Beat reporter Chad Blair has today's reality check of what that means for one Hawaii family. Good morning.
Good morning.
Chad, you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Well, I thought we lost you for a second there. Oh, good. Well, in reading this story, it's pretty amazing about how many lengths someone has to go to be able to visit a family member who is incarcerated in a Saguaro prison in Arizona.
Right. And so Louis Kanea and Corey Lum, our reporter and photographer, actually traveled to the facilities in Arizona, where we have nearly 1,400 Hawaii inmates locked up there. That's about a fourth of our total. And of course, they're there because of overcrowding. But what Louis and Corey have done is they've managed to put a personal face on this experience. Most of us are very far removed from this. So they interviewed Mehealani Meheula, who has made her seventh trip to Saguaro. And she has a boyfriend that's locked up there, as well as a nephew. And it's an expensive deal. $1,200 at minimum a trip, and it's difficult to stay in touch with relatives so far away. So this puts a human face on what it really means to ship our prisoners 3,000 miles away.
that's an expensive trip, and we're not just talking about money. A lot of the research that we have seen points to the fact that when you have inmates very far from their families, right, that it doesn't help them make the transition if and when they get out.
Not at all, yeah. The studies, in fact, show that if they can continue to have close contacts with their families, there's much less likelihood that they're going to commit a crime and send them back in prison. There's other problems as well that distance brings. It's tough to stay on top of court dates and other legal issues. And if you're going to reenter society, it's difficult to set up things with landlords, potential employers, social service providers. These are the kinds of things that are very difficult. And yet, Hawaii really has not much progress in bringing back those inmates. Remember the Justice Reinvestment
Exactly.
Initiative?
And we seem to have a great bit of momentum behind that, and then it seemed to fall flat, and we haven't really been talking a lot about bringing inmates back. And where would we put them?
Right, only about 35 people have come back. That's good, but we were predicting as many as 900. The real question is there is no place to put them. Even if you rebuild OCCC, the facility in Kalihi, there off of Dillingham, that's going to take 5 to 7 years for that prison to open up. And, you know, we've talked about moving it to Halava Valley. So these are very serious challenges. The reason, by the way, we do send them, not only because of the overcrowding, it's cheaper to house them there, $70 a day per inmate in Arizona compared to $140 here on Hawaii.
And when people have to, you know, sort of play that off of, well, taxpayer dollars, cost to the community, it's a very thorny issue, and obviously one we're going to be talking about for a while, because simply we have some practical implications of where we would house people if we were bringing them back here, which, as to date, we haven't been able to do. Chad, I know we're going to be following the story and talking about it probably in many more conversations, but for the moment, we're going to say goodbye and talk to you in the morning.
Thanks, Beth Ann.
Chad Blair reports for Civil Beat.
Support for the Backyard Quiz comes from Hawaii Pacific University, presenting Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, April 8th through the 17th at the Paul and Vailu Theater on the Hawaii Loa campus, hpu.edu/theater.
Earlier in the show, we asked you from whence in the U.S. HPR's president and general manager Michael Titterton hailed before coming to Hawaii. You might have assumed that Michael came to HPR from his native London, but you would be mistaken. Michael joined the British invasion in 1971, attending Wayne State University in Detroit. There, he cut his public radio teeth covering the downturn of the automaker Chrysler. Later, while teaching at universities in Virginia and Pennsylvania, he was instrumental in building NPR affiliate stations. And that's just a snapshot. In 1984, Michael founded and ran public radio station WHQR in Wilmington, North Carolina, where he worked and lived until coming to Hawaii. And North Carolina is today's answer. If you've got a quiz for us, send it to us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org.
It's a Tuesday with no primaries, but plenty of politics. Another strand snaps in the fabric of European unity. While Belgian police arrest members of the ISIS cell that attacked Paris and Brussels, well, those are just some of the stories on the mind of news analyst Neil Conan this morning. He joins us now, as he does most Tuesdays, from his Macnut farm on the Big Island. Good morning, and may I say it was really nice to see you here live in our studios in Honolulu last week for the fun drive.
Oh, it was great, Beth Ann. It's always fun, but especially this spring when the support from listeners has just been so great.
Well, we're going to get back to that in just a couple of minutes, but for the moment, since we last spoke, there have been more problems for the front runners in the presidential nomination process, and maybe especially for Donald Trump, right?
Oh, very especially for Donald Trump. He got thumped by Ted Cruz in Wisconsin last week and then swept by Cruz in Colorado this past weekend. And it's interesting, for very different reasons. In Colorado and South Carolina, a few other places as well, Trump's organization, such as it is, has fumbled away opportunities to pick up delegates. The rules for the caucus in Colorado, for example, you know, they're a little complicated, but, you know, it's not like they were secrets. It's just that Ted Cruz paid attention to details and Trump didn't. Cruz picked up 34 delegates and Trump has been left, you know, spluttering about, you know, the game is rigged.
Now, while we're talking about some attention to detail, we learned that two of Trump's children neglected to change their party's registration. So now they're ineligible to vote for their dad in New York next week.
That's right. One hesitates to talk about the sins of the father, but yes, exactly that kind of, you know, pesky detail. In Colorado, Trump supporters passed out leaflets, you know, boosting a slate of Trump candidates, most of whom were not actually on the ballot. And then when this turns into a debacle, the campaign became, you know, alternately whiny and then menacing. Somehow the state chairman's cell phone number got out on the internet. He's, of course, been deluged with calls, something like 2,000 calls a day. And this comes after a campaign spokesman threatened to give out the hotel room numbers of any Republican convention delegates who have the effrontery to oppose Donald Trump at the national convention in Cleveland.
And now it's looking more and more likely that we're going to see that contested convention there in Cleveland.
Yes, it does, which also has to do with the reason for Trump's loss in Wisconsin. It's beginning to look like he may have a ceiling. He claimed that, you know, his percentage of the vote would rise as the field of Republican candidates got smaller. That sure did not happen in Wisconsin. And while there's and there's reason to believe that a good part of the surge for Ted Cruz was an anti-Trump surge. Maybe the huge volume of anti-Trump ads began to take a toll. Maybe the, you know, the ugliness of his rallies and the underlying racism drove some voters into opposition. You know, certainly the way he mocks women. Maybe the self-inflicted wounds of missteps on policies like abortion, for example. His negatives get so high that in a 2- or 3-man race, suddenly 35% is not going to be enough.
But the polls are showing him way over that in New York and in some of the other northeastern states that come up a week after next.
Well, you're right, over 50% in New York, even without his two children. And then Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, the rest of April should be a good month for Donald Trump. But he may come up short on the number of delegates he needs for a first ballot win. It's going to come down eventually to California. And then maybe the prospect of the chaos he promises in Cleveland if he's denied the nomination, because, you know, if he does not win on the first ballot, it sure begins to look like he's going to get fewer and fewer votes on every subsequent ballot.
This makes me keep thinking that we keep saying this, but the Democrats are looking positively polite by comparison, even as we've seen the race get a bit edgier.
Yep. We saw Bernie Sanders overreact to an interview where Hillary Clinton pointedly refused to say that he was unqualified to be president. She then attacked him on his less than sure-handed meeting with the editorial board of the New York Daily News. He's come back on her on fracking. She's come back on him on guns. You know, there's a debate coming up, and for once, it's possible the upcoming Democratic debate might have some fireworks.
And Sanders really has some momentum. I mean, after Wisconsin and Wyoming, 7 out of the last 8 states that he's won.
Yes, indeed. Yes, but a solid win in Wisconsin, but which did not net him enough delegates to begin eating into that big Clinton lead. Yes, he won the Wyoming caucus, but the delegates split 7-7. So, you know, all right, wins are wins, and even a narrow win in New York would be important for Bernie Sanders. That's the state that elected Hillary Clinton to the U.S. Senate twice. He always says, you know, he always describes it as her adopted state, as if somehow his relationship with Vermont is somehow different. But anyway, he trails in New York by double digits a week out. It's Democrats only in the New York primary. Independents cannot vote. And I think the rest of April also looks pretty good for Hillary Clinton.
Okay, let's switch gears for a second. I wanted to ask you about another election, a referendum that did not get a lot of attention in the Netherlands, where people voted down a proposal that was seen as an up or down vote on the EU itself.
Yes, the actual issue was about whether to accept Ukraine's economic agreement with the EU. All the other members of the EU had accepted that. The anti-EU forces in the Netherlands forced a referendum on it. This was not about membership for Ukraine. That's a long, long way from that, but about closer ties to Europe. But it did absolutely become a referendum on the EU itself, and the Eurosceptics won. Turnout in this election was very low, just over 30%, so maybe an actual up or down vote on Europe would have turned out differently, but the vote was almost 2-1 against. Now, the right in the Netherlands has hailed this as the beginning of the end for the EU, and that's with the British vote on membership in the EU in June as the next nail in the coffin. In other words, this was a symbolic vote in the Netherlands. The British vote is about actually leaving the EU or staying in. Now, polls show that British referendum could be close, but polls in Britain have been unreliable of late.
We got to go, but I got to ask you that, you know, it turns out in another place in Europe, as we're talking about it, that the ISIS attacks in Brussels, the suicide bombs at the airport, the subway station, that the bombers planned to attack in Paris, but improvised when police arrested members of the cell.
Yes, and there's a couple of scary things about that. They did an awful lot of damage for, you know, an improvised attack. They killed dozens of people. The airport in Brussels has just begun to reopen. And it's hard to have confidence that the Belgian police have rolled up all the members of this cell. They proved to be very ineffective. And, of course, we don't know if there are other cells still out there.
Well, for the moment, Neil, we got to leave it there because we got some business to do over here. But we will talk to you soon. Have a good
Make
week.
Make some money for the station, Beth Ann.
We'll give it our best. News analyst Neil Conan joins us most Tuesdays from the farm. You can also hear his Pacific News Minutes right here on Hawaii Public Radio.
Bethann, I really marvel at Neil Conan's command of world affairs and, you know, keeping up with the news on a very broad scale, yeah?
Literally the world he lives in.
Exactly.
And for us, lucky that we are, we get to talk on a weekly basis, also with the Pacific News Minutes. One of the best things that we've had happen, I think, of late to Hawaii Public Radio is having Neil Conan join it.
Well, he's very aware of the, what I'd call the shifting tides of this election campaign, where one week to the next, it's a completely different landscape, yeah?
Right, and we're going to see what's happening with our landscape right here at Hawaii Public Radio and go back to Pledge Central and Ray Cruz. Ray, take it away.
Thanks, Beth Ann. Thanks, Chris. Great show this morning. Of course, covered a lot of material this morning. Had Michael Titterton on this morning, giving us the great news that KAHU, our friends in East Hawaii, there are engineers on the tower as we speak. And I was talking to Michael a few minutes ago, and he said that later on our website, you'll be able to see some of those pictures of the engineers up there finally getting this statewide coverage to completion. Speechless. Really looking forward to that. Good morning, everyone. Ray Cruz with you here on day 7 of Challenge 2016, joined by Ian Capps of the Early Muse this morning. He's my wingman this morning, and our new boss, Jose Fajardo, is here as well. And we have a few thank yous, gentlemen. Let's get those out of the way as you take a look at those. Want to let you know that we have $199 to go on this matching gift that was on the table from Ann McKay of Kailua. So give us a call at 941-3689 and help us take that money off the table, just like these folks have done.
And Roby from Kapolei is giving an additional gift, which is thank you very much. And he says it helps to keep my sanity on my morning drive into town. Well, from Kapolei, that's really quite a drive, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
And let's say thank you to Chelsea, who's providing she's a new member and doing it as a monthly gift from Kapaha. Thank you so much for your contribution. We certainly enjoy having you as a new member to Hawaii Public Radio.
And that's on Kauai. And from Kahului, John Ellis called in, and he simply says, it is the best. It's all I can say.
And then from the Big Island, from Honoka'a, we have Dick McCauley, who says the reception in Honoka'a is great and greatly appreciated. So thank you so much for that call support. He's renewing his contribution to Hawaii Public Radio.
You know, there's a person who gets it, who appreciates That reception was made possible by people year after year, sustaining members, making that possible. And we need to hear from you now. We have $754 to go on that $3,000 goal for the conversation. And if you call in from the Big Island right now, people, listen up. Hawaii Island listeners, if you call in right now, Kate and Tom of Kailua Kona will match your gift dollar for dollar. So just $1 a day gift will take us over the $754 that we have remaining to that $3,000 goal for the conversation. Talk about leverage, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. That is it. That's when, you know, your call is most important. We have $352,000 left to go to the end of this drive, and it's imperative that we start hearing from all of you who have been on the sidelines just listening to everything. You know what? Don't be on the sidelines. Get in the game. 941-3689. Toll free 1-877-941-3689.
And Ray, with that challenge grant, the way I understand it is if you make a contribution, let's say, of $75 and they match it dollar for dollar, it comes up to $150, then you can take advantage of the HPR t-shirt. So with that challenge grant, you get to bump up your contribution so you can take advantage of a higher level premium thank you gift from Hawaii Public Radio. So just $199 to go to reach our goal of $3,000, 941-3689.
I'll see your t-shirt and match you this one. A pledge of $365 from the Big Island right now. Add on $365 from Kate and Tom, plus the $199 that are left on the McKay gift, and that will be a total of $929 to
amazing.
HPR right now.
Talk about
and
power.
And, but wait, there's more. We'll throw in two Merriman's gift cards. And if you've ever eaten, looking for some really good food,
oh yeah,
Merriman's, okay? So Big Island, right now, $30.41 means $929. You could be the hero
right
for this morning of the conversation. You could be the person that stepped up, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, behind by three, and you knock it out of the park. 941-3689. Do it.
You know, that's what I love about public radio. It's the theater of the mind. And so I hope that you could visualize, you know, standing at the plate, taking that pitch and knocking it out of the park, right? That was beautiful.
I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. And when we turn on these mics, we know thousands of people are listening to us. We don't need listeners. We have all the listeners we need. As a matter of fact, just so you know, listeners cost us money. The more listeners we have, the more we get charged for programming. Remember
that's
that.
Right, right.
So listeners we have. What we need is supporters. And you know what's even better? What makes everything even sweeter? When you're a new member. Mm-hmm. Because you get it. You finally get it, and you get in the game, and you start to listen in color. 941-3689, 941-3689. Toll-free 1-877-941-3689. Come on, people. $199 left to take us to goal for the conversation. You know you listen to this program. It's about time you support it.
You know, Ray, we were talking earlier about our personal experience of how we got into radio many, many years ago, listening to radio in Puerto Rico. Where
absolutely.
You and I were both from and raised, and it's a personal experience. You know, radio is a very personal experience. You feel like, you know, we are talking directly to you, and we are. We're talking directly to you. It is you that we need to call right now, not your neighbor, not your friend, not the person on the other side of the wall. It's you. You listen to Hawaii Public Radio. You gain from the benefits of listening to high-quality radio. Call now because we're depending on you. 941-3689.
You know, every day, gentlemen, I always say this, and never is it more important than at a time like now. This is member-supported, not listener-supported, member-supported Hawaii Public Radio. KIPO Honolulu, KIPM Waikapu, KHBH Kailua Kona, KIPH Hana, KIPO Lihue, and KAHU Pahala. Collectively, the stations of HPR 2. About 15 seconds before we go off to one of my favorite programs, The Takeaway. We have one caller on the line, 941-3689. Toll free 1-877-941-3689. I got news for you. We met that goal.
Yay.
Great.